All right, welcome back into this week's edition of the Four Verticals Podcast. Episode 9 is underway. Lots to get into tonight as it was a big week 3 in college football. We'll take a look nationally, and I think we're starting to see some trends. We'll go through some of the things we know as we're almost a month into the season. We'll do that here in a little bit. We'll also make our week 4 picks. Had a bit of a bounce back week this week. Went 6-4 against the spread, up to 14-16 through 3 podcasts. We'll try and get above 500 with another strong week this week. Pick 5 Big 12 games, 5 games nationally. We'll do that at the end of the show. I want to start things off tonight, though. 3 Big 12 takeaways from week 3 with some throw-ins at the end. I want to start there, and I think we have to start in Arlington, Texas, where the game of the week, it was number 15 TCU and number 4 Ohio State. Ohio State ends up winning this one 40-28, and if you just look at the score and the box score, if you didn't watch the game, you see 40-28, you're probably thinking, oh, competitive game. TCU gave a little bit better of a fight than I thought, but Ohio State just a little bit more talented in some areas, found a way to win that one. Didn't really go that way. I was at that game. I watched every single snap. TCU was not overwhelmed by Ohio State one bit. They got down to an early 10-0 hole about 6 minutes into the game. Ohio State got an early field goal on their opening drive. Then Sean Robinson got strip sacked by Nick Bosa, and it was recovered in the end zone by the Buckeyes. And it actually showed on replay that it should have been a safety because one of the recovering players' foot was out of bounds when he made contact with the ball, but that's neither here nor there. 10-0 hole early. So what does TCU do? Well, they bounce back. They drive it straight down the field, get into the end zone with Shewa Olanolua, 6-yard scamper, get another stop, and then Darius Anderson takes a 93-yard handoff and takes it to the house for TCU. All of a sudden, you look back up, it's 14-10 early in the second quarter, and you're going, okay, TCU took its early punches, and they're into this game now. It's 14-10. There's, you know, all kinds of time left. Obviously, we're into the second quarter now, because that was my key to the game coming in, is the first 8 minutes for TCU. You can't get far behind. So I'm thinking at 10-0 Ohio State, 6 minutes into the game, well, this is a disaster. This is not the start you wanted. Ohio State hadn't even played that well, and they're already up 10-0. Well, TCU responded. They went down, and they scored, and then they got the ball back, and they scored from 93 yards out to take a 14-10 lead. Ohio State added a field goal in the second quarter to get that thing 14-13 going into the half. So you're thinking, hey, we got a one-point lead against a top-five team in the nation. We're not overwhelmed by these guys. We're moving the ball if you're TCU. And if you're Ohio State, you're like, damn, these boys can play with us. TCU had outgained them at the half. They had moved the ball more proficiently. But the lone turnover was the reason Ohio State was in the game at the half. So TCU opened up the second half. Both teams had to punt, and then TCU drove it again, took a 21-13 lead. Then they get a stop and get it back. So this game is 21-13 with about 10 minutes left in the third quarter, and you're looking around, and Ohio State fans hadn't been loud in a while, and you got the feeling in the building like this isn't too big for TCU. This thing is manageable now. It's 2.5 quarters into the game. TCU could win this game, and it wouldn't be a fluke. So, and by the way, the game plan for Sonny Cumbie was absolutely brilliant. TCU's offensive coordinator. They were going at hyper speed, side to side. Robinson, easy throws to the outside. They were working Darius Anderson in the run game. They were getting Ohio State off balance. Sean Robinson was playing well, throwing the ball with confidence. Really good game plan, 2.5 quarters in. Well, to me, the biggest drive of the night for TCU is when you get the ball back up 21-13 with about 10 minutes left in the third quarter. This is some chance to put pressure on Ohio State. You go down, you get a drive, get any points at all, take a two-possession lead. All of a sudden, Ohio State, for the first time all season, is facing some real adversity. So what happens, and keep in mind, this is right after Darius Anderson had ran his second touchdown of the night, which was just gashing the Buckeye defense. Incomplete on first down, incomplete on second down, and by the way, on that play, Robinson broke the pocket, threw a dart over the middle to Kevontae Turpin, who's as sure-handed as anybody for TCU, and drops it. And Robinson could have ran for about 30 yards on this play, by the way, which, moving forward, that's probably a play. You just tuck that and go, especially. Take the guaranteed play there, but he'll learn from that. But nonetheless, a drop from Kevontae Turpin. Then on third down, they tried an option play, got a couple of yards, and had to punt. What happens? Next play, Ohio State, 63-yard bubble screen. So all of a sudden, it's 21-19. Two-point conversion was no good. Next TCU series, get to third and six, and Sonny Cumbie calls a shovel pass, and Sean Robinson tries to squeeze it to Alana Lua, and Ohio State's defensive tackle picks that thing off, takes it to the house. So before you can blink, an eight-point lead for TCU is a five-point deficit at 26-21. Another three and out from TCU, and TCU's punter Adam Nunez drops the snap on the punt. It gets blocked and only goes about 10 yards to the TCU 25. Two plays later, Buckeyes are in the end zone. It's 33-21. In a 4-minute and 1-second span, Ohio State went from 21-13 down to 33-21 lead. It was a meltdown. I mean, it was a 4-minute meltdown from TCU, and it all started with Kevontae Turpin's drop slash Sean Robinson's decision to not run the ball slash Sonny Cumbie not working in Darius Anderson after he's been the best player on the field. You know, the little things get you beat against opponents like Ohio State. It's a real opportunity missed from TCU because coming in all week, no one gave TCU a chance. I didn't see anyone on the national level pick TCU to win. And through 2.5 quarters, they had outplayed Ohio State. There's no doubt in my mind about that. At the end of the game, Ohio State did what they had to do. TCU got it to 33-28 on a deep ball from Sean Robinson to Javonte Heights. And Ohio State, they had a veteran drive. They went straight down the field, 10 plays, 75 yards about, and put that thing into the end zone and put that game away at 40-28. Outside of that, Ohio State didn't drive the length of field and score all night. Their other offensive touchdown was the bubble screen for 63 yards to Paris Campbell. Two defensive touchdowns and field goals. Oh, and they had one more offensive touchdown off the block punt. So a 25-yard drive. That was it. I mean, Gary Patterson's defense did a hell of a job in this game. You'll look at the final number, 526 yards. Yeah, that's a good amount. But 14 of those are on defensive touchdowns, 14 of the 40. And six more of those are coming off a block punt where they only have to go 25 yards. So essentially, TCU gave Ohio State 20 points on a platter and still only lost 40-28. I mean, that game was winnable for TCU. My biggest takeaway from this one is TCU is going to challenge for the Big 12. They're talented. Sean Robinson's only going to get better. He made some throws in that game where you're like, wow, Kenny Hill ain't making that throw. I was really impressed with my alma mater. It's disappointing for TCU because that game was winnable. And if you can get that one, all of a sudden you've got a ton of momentum going into Big 12 play. But still certainly a good amount of positives to take moving forward. Kudos to Ohio State. No turnovers. That's what top flight programs do. Even when they're not at their best, they found a way to win. So kudos to them for getting out of Arlington with a tough win against TCU. Second takeaway in the Big 12 in Week 3. Texas 37-14 win over USC. Biggest win of the Tom Herman era for a couple reasons. Just the second ranked win, and I know USC probably shouldn't have been ranked, and personally, I don't think they're any good at all, but still a big win, 103,000, big stage. I think it was the third largest crowd in DKR history. Tom Herman needed that win in a major way. Even if USC goes on to have a terrible season, it's still a win of significance in the Tom Herman era. Question now is, can they get another quality win this weekend? They get TCU in Austin. Texas wants to beat TCU really bad. They've lost by an average of 38-8 over the last 4 years to the Horned Frogs. That's unacceptable if you're Texas. 38-8, an average of 30-point deficit the last 4 years to TCU. Sam Ellinger was up and down in this game, 15 of 33, but he made some big throws and some big moments. Texas got the special teams touchdown, the blocked field goal. I thought that was the turning point. They did what they had to do. The defense held USC to -6 rushing yards. It's impressive. JT Daniels, the reclassified freshman quarterback for USC, he did throw for over 300 yards in this game, 322 yards, but all 14 points for USC in the first quarter. So after that, they pitched a shutout, Texas did. well done for the Horns. They did what they had to do. They beat a team that they were better than. Little Jordan Humphrey, pretty big game. 4 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. Colin Johnson, 6 for 79. Those are the two playmakers for Texas. If Sam Ehlinger can find those guys, they can compete with some people, but you got to see the consistency from week to week with Texas. So I'm not going to overreact against a win with a win over an overranked USC team, but still a much-needed one for Tom Herman. And to me, it's important that they won going away. 21-0 third quarter to establish itself. The week before against Tulsa, they relaxed with the 21-0 lead, barely won 28-21. They put their foot on the gas after an early 14-3 deficit and outscored them 34-0 the rest of the way. That's what you got to do. I mean, that's what you have to do. And so now Texas has a little mojo going into TCU, a team they have not beaten in the last 4 years. We'll get into that matchup coming up in the final segment when we make our picks against the spread here on the Four Verticals podcast. Takeaway number three, Oklahoma State might be pretty damn good. I picked Boise to go in there and win that game, and it wasn't close. OSU won 44-21 over Boise State. The defense, they're leading the nation in sacks. Of all people, Oklahoma State is leading the nation in that category. They look impressive. They're improved defensively. Cornelius is plugged in, and I'm not going to say he's been Mason Rudolph, but he's been more than serviceable. 15 of 26, 243 yards. Also added 41 yards on the ground, 3 total touchdowns. Justice Hill, most overlooked running back in college football, 15 carries, 123 yards, 1 touchdown. And yeah, Brett Rypien, the senior quarterback for Boise State, his final line looks good, 39 of 56 for 380 yards and 3 touchdowns. But he was running for his life, man. That Boise State front was overwhelmed by Oklahoma State. Darian Daniels, some of those boys up front for the Cowboys were getting after it. They had 7 sacks of Boise State, 10 tackles for loss. Oklahoma State looks good. I'll be honest. I had them as my 6th or 7th team on paper coming into the Big 12 this season. From what I've seen so far, they're in that top four. I think the top four is pretty clear. I think Oklahoma, you'd have to give the nod as the top team. You could convince me of either West Virginia or TCU as the second team. Oklahoma State's right there, though. Those four, I mean, those are the core four right now in the Big 12. And Oklahoma State has established itself as a team certainly belonging in that category. Big game at home against Texas Tech this weekend. If you can build off this Boise win, take care of Tech, get off to that 4-0 start, it's pretty good for Mike Gundy's group. I didn't give them a ton of respect coming into this year. They've got off to a really good start. Impressive win over Boise State on Saturday. So my three big takeaways: TCU can compete for the Big 12 championship despite the loss to Ohio State, a missed opportunity in that one. Texas, an impressive win over USC. Now they need to build on it. Oklahoma State, better than I thought, and I think most people thought. Some throw-ins from the Big 12 in Week 3. How about Texas Tech quarterback Alan Bowman? Sets a Big 12 freshman record with 605 passing yards. Also threw for 5 touchdowns. Wide receiver Antoine Welsey set a Tech record with 261 yards receiving on 13 catches. Also had 3 touchdowns. That's a big one for Cliff Kingsbury. 63-49. That was a lot of scoring in that one. But you know what? Any win is a big win for Kingsbury right now. I thought that was a nice response after not being ready to play against Ole Miss in Week 1. Tech bounced back pretty nicely here. Big one in Stillwater on Saturday. If Cliff Kingsbury could get that one, the hot seat would cool down quite a bit for him. Also, Oklahoma took care of a game Iowa State. Kyle Kemp was out for Iowa State, but Zeb Nolan played really well, threw for over 300 yards. Iowa State challenged Oklahoma's 37-27 final, but that game was back and forth throughout. Kyler Murray, he's impressive, man. 21-29, 348 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also ran for 77 yards on 15 carries. ESPN had him soar to the top of their Heisman list this week. I think he's 2nd, according to Bovada, behind Tua Tagovailoa. Him and Will Greer are right in there in that 2nd group. But Kyler Murray is going to put up huge numbers. This offense has not missed a beat without Baker Mayfield. It's throwing the ball down the field that's been so impressive with me. I knew he was going to be able to make plays with his feet and do all the underneath stuff, but he's throwing the ball vertically and with accuracy. He's been impressive to me. He'd probably get my vote for the Heisman right now. He's been very good. Oklahoma's been very good. And the offense didn't miss much of a beat without Rodney Anderson. We'll see throughout the season how much they miss him, but Trey Sermon, some of those other guys, they're more than serviceable. Iowa State, you know, that was going to be a tough task, especially after what happened last year and without your starting quarterback. But Zeb Nolan, you know, 25 of 36, 360 and a couple of scores. David Montgomery ran for 82 yards and a touchdown. I still think, even though they're 0-2, Iowa State's a quality football team. I still think they win 6-7 games this year. Tough schedule early on. Lost the close one to Iowa and to Oklahoma. I think they'll bounce back and get on track soon. Some other scores in the Big 12. Baylor, not the result you want if you're Matt Rule. 40-27 loss at home to Duke. I said in my preseason takeaways from each team, Baylor had to go 3-0 in the non-conference in my eyes to go bowling. You lose to Duke now. It's going to be – they got to win four Big 12 games, man. Where are those going to come from? I mean, it's got to start this week against Kansas at home, but outside of that, you don't really feel comfortable with any game on the Big 12 schedule as a game where you're like, eh, we're going to be favored in this one. You know, that was a big hit for Baylor's bowl chances. Obviously, still much improved, still off to a 2-1 start, but not the result you wanted against Duke. Kansas State bounced back after their loss to Mississippi State. They handled UTSA 41-27. And Kansas, they've got a winning record through 3 weeks. It's been a while. 55-14 win over Rutgers. They're soaring with a lot of confidence heading into Waco this Saturday. All of a sudden, that game's a little more interesting than any of us may have thought. So those are my takeaways and my throw-ins from the Big 12 in Week 3. Let's move to the national scale. Let's talk about some of the other games nationally. And how about this? Some things we know through 3 weeks. Some trends are being set. I'll give you some of my thoughts as we're almost a month into the college football season on the Four Verticals podcast. Rolling along here on episode 9 of the Four Verticals podcast, I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes or so, we'll make our week 4 picks. We'll pick 5 Big 12 games and 5 games nationally against the spread. I had a 6-4 week last week, bounced back from the week before, creeping up towards that 500 mark. So we'll get back on track, get above 500 again this week. We'll do that at the end of the show. But right now, I want to go through some of the things that we know, or at least that I think that we know, through 3 weeks of the college football season. So we're 3 weeks in now, and my number one thing that I know is that the top 5 teams in college football are very clear, and I really don't think they're debatable at this point. And in no certain order, although I do think Alabama is the best team, so I'll start there. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson. That's the class of college football right now. Those are the 5 teams. And that's not to say that there's not other teams that can challenge, because it's still early. I mean, we know TCU can challenge. They had a chance to beat Ohio State on Saturday. But I'm just talking about from a pure consistency and talent standpoint, those are the 5 best teams in college football. You know, I mentioned TCU. Obviously, LSU, who I'll get to in a little bit, has a couple of nice wins, but I'll look at them. You know, Joe Burrow's been steady at quarterback, but if they when they play Alabama, there's just no way. They're not going to be able to score enough with Tua Tagovailoa slinging it for Bama. He's been incredible. That defense is all over the place. They could hang with Alabama. They could challenge them. They're not beating them, though. Georgia, that maybe they could challenge them. You know, I don't think they play in the regular season either. In fact, I know they don't. But again, Georgia athletically, just better athletes, better players, better quarterback play, better running backs, better athletes on defense. Clemson, same way. Best defensive line in college football. 2 good options at quarterback. Good skill players, well coached. And they haven't even played that well yet. Ohio State, we saw it on Saturday. You know, probably didn't even play their best game, but they didn't turn the ball over. Dwayne Haskins offers them a dimension they haven't had in a while with vertical passing. Mike Weber, J.K. Dobbins at running back. They got speed at receiver, athletes all over the defense, Nick Bosa coming off the edge, players all over the place. Oklahoma, I think, you know, as a whole, you'd probably have to have OU fifth just because defensively, I don't think they're quite there with the other four. But offensively, they might be just as good, if not better than the rest of them. Kyler Murray slinging it all over the place. Marquise Brown, CeeDee Lamb at receiver. I know they lost Rodney Anderson, the running back, but Trey Sermon's been impressive. Good offensive line. The defense has improved. You know, it's I got to wait and see more. I thought Iowa State moved the ball pretty easily against them. But from a total team standpoint and with the quarterback and Murray, I think those are your five right there. Bama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma. I think that is clearly the best five teams in college football as of right now. Next thing that we know through 3 weeks, LSU has the best resume in the country. There's no doubt about it. If the college football playoff committee had to choose four teams right now, and obviously that would be an impossible job as there's still a ton of teams that are undefeated, and you'd have to weigh resume versus eye test, you'd have to put LSU in because they have wins over Auburn and a win over Miami, both who were top 10 at the time. Now, Miami's you know, hadn't looked great. They're 21st in the country. They're 2-1 with a couple of easy wins after that loss to LSU. Auburn, you know, they have the win over Washington, so they're still they're ranked 9th in the AP poll, 11th in the coaches poll. They're still going to be a factor moving forward. That's the best resume, though, through 3 weeks. I think I read somewhere, I think it's the first team to have two top 10 wins through 3 weeks, either ever or in a long time. So Ed Orgeron, getting it done, man. I mean, you get Joe Burrow, transfer quarterback. The numbers aren't great. He's sub 50% as a passer, but he's steady. LSU hasn't turned the ball over yet this year. That's what they've needed at that position for a long time. I don't think they can hang with the Alabamas, or and you know, maybe they can challenge, but I don't think they can beat Alabama. But through 3 weeks, the resume speaks for itself. Two top 10 wins. LSU has the best resume in the country. Third thing we know, Big Ten came into the season with way too much hype, for me included. And things can still change. It's still early, but so far, you know, I called it Wisconsin's fraud, man. Alex Hornibrook, if he's your quarterback, you're not going anywhere. I stand by that statement. We saw it again on Saturday. Couldn't make the plays with his arm against BYU when there was adversity. Jonathan Taylor, if you slow him down enough and make Hornibrook beat you, he won't. He will not. They got another stiff test against Iowa on Saturday. They're playing for their playoff lives from here on out. Michigan and Michigan State are in the same boat with early losses. Michigan lost a game to Notre Dame by 7. That wasn't really that close. Notre Dame has been pedestrian since then. Beat Ball State by 8, survived against Vanderbilt by 5. Wimbush, Notre Dame's quarterback, not impressive. Michigan still has issues offensively. They struggled with SMU for a half last week. I still think there's talent there. I don't know if they have the skill players to challenge an Ohio State in the Big Ten. My point here is Penn State's probably the only team that has a chance to win the league over Ohio State. Ohio State clearly has the most talent. And I thought this was a league that was going to have four or five legitimate top 20 teams, and it really only has two from what I've seen so far. And maybe you could argue even just one. Penn State barely survived against App State. They've looked better since then, but three of the core five in the Big Ten, that being Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, already have losses. Penn State and Ohio State been challenged already as well. I would be surprised if Ohio State did not win the Big Ten. Next thing we know through 3 weeks of the college football season. It's early, but I think TCU and Washington look like the best one-loss teams. I'll throw Auburn in there too because Auburn beat Washington. But I got to say, based on what I saw against Ohio State, TCU's pretty damn good. They've got so much speed at the skill positions that they're going to be able to move the ball on most people because they're that athletic. And Gary Patterson's defense is going to be stout. They lost Ross Blacklock in the preseason, the defensive tackle. He may have made a difference down the stretch against Ohio State, but they're solid, man. Front four's good. Linebackers are fast. Corners have been good. Safeties are good. Sean Robinson, the quarterback, is only going to get better and better. They may have the highest ceiling of a one-loss team. The reason I hesitate on Auburn is I just, you know, I like Stidham. I don't trust him, the quarterback. That is not a game you should lose at home to LSU on Saturday. You're up 21-10, and you get comfortable and you lose 22-21. Jarrett Stidham should be able to beat Joe Burrow. Heads up. Because those rosters are pretty similar across the board. Auburn probably with slightly more talent. Stidham has more ability than Joe Burrow, and he lost to him at home. Not a good look, in my opinion. Not a good look. I think Auburn loses a couple more times. They're definitely not beating Alabama this year. They might lose to Mississippi State as well. So TCU and Washington, to me, best one-loss teams. Auburn in the mix there as well, but I think they lose a couple more times. Next point, SEC West, best division in the country. I know I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, but it's so obvious to me. Big Ten East, not up to the task, not this year. SEC West, I know I just bagged on Auburn a little bit. They're still really good. Alabama's the best team in the country from what I've seen. Texas A&M's improved. They challenged Clemson to the gun. Ole Miss, I know they just got hammered by Alabama at home. They have a nice win against Texas Tech. That's probably your second worst team in the West. Arkansas's horrible. Arkansas's horrible. I will give you that. They are terrible. They may go like 2-10 this year. I don't know who they beat in that West. Mississippi State is good with Fitzgerald at quarterback. LSU's good. Like I said, Bama's good. The East isn't great. It's not very good. Georgia's really good. East isn't great, but SEC West, this is a division by far the best in the country. Last thing we know, Pac-12 and ACC are terrible. We'll see what Oregon brings to the table against Stanford this weekend. I know College Game Day is going there. Oregon's sitting at 20th in the country. Stanford's all the way up at 7. They're solid, but they're not beating a team with supreme talent. They can't beat an Alabama. They just don't have the guns to do it. KJ Costello is a steady quarter. They're the LSU of the Pac-12 right now. They're steady and they're solid across the board, but can they beat the highest of high-level teams? They don't beat themselves, but when they have to go make some big-time plays, can they make them? I'm not sure if they can. That's how I feel about LSU, too. When they play a team like Alabama, you're going to have to score some points against Tua. I don't see how they're going to. I don't see how they can keep up. I don't know if Stanford can keep up with the big boys. Now, the Pac-12 may not have any big boys. I still think Washington's solid, but if they can beat Washington, Stanford might go to the playoff. Got to beat Oregon this week first. If they pick up a nice win against Oregon, my tune can change. But the Pac-12, I'm not impressed. ACC might even be worse from top to bottom, seriously. Clemson's really good. We know that. I think Virginia Tech's pretty good. They have that, but although that win against Florida State week one's looking less and less impressive, Florida State just got embarrassed by Syracuse. ACC is bad, man. It's the worst of the Power 5. If I had to rank the Power 5, I would go SEC 1. I'd give the slight edge to the Big Ten 2. Big 12 3. Pac-12 4th, just because I think it has a little more depth than the ACC, although the ACC does have Clemson. But outside of Clemson, worst Power 5 conference. I'm very comfortable saying that. Those are some of the things we know. Top five teams are clear. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Clemson. LSU has the best resume in the country. Big Ten came into the season with way too much hype, have not lived up to it. TCU, probably the best one-loss team in the country from what I've seen. Pac-12 and the ACC, pick it up. It's been a rough start for those two conferences in college football. All right, let's transition here. Got to put a wrap on episode 9 of the Four Verticals podcast. We make our week 4 picks, five Big 12 games, 5 games nationally against the spread. We went 6-4 last week. Can we go above 500 again this week? I think we can. I pick them next here on the Four Verticals podcast. Wrapping things up here on the Four Verticals podcast, episode 9, about to be in the books. We finish this up the same way we do every week with our picks. This week, it's week 4, picks against the spread. I went 6-4 last week. I am now 14-16 overall through 3 weeks of picks, looking to get back above 500 after a low week 2. Got to bounce back and get things going, build on some momentum from a 6-4 week a week ago. So let's start in the Big 12. 5 games in the Big 12 this week. Let's start in Austin. Number 17, TCU, 3-point favorites against the Texas Longhorns. To me, this is easy. 3 points. Give me a break. I know Texas played better and looked good against USC. I don't think USC is very good. If they weren't in the Pac-12, I think they'd be in grave danger of missing a bowl game. They still might be. I think Texas is improved from last year, which makes it mind-boggling that you can go up to Maryland and play like that and lose. But I also think TCU might be better than last year. I'm telling you, I was really impressed against Ohio State. If they don't make 3 or 4 just critical errors, they probably win that game. I think TCU wins this game by a couple of touchdowns. Give me the Frogs, 34-17 in Austin. I just don't think Texas can score enough. I think their defense will make some plays, but Sam Ellinger is not going to outgun Sean Robinson. I just don't think so. Texas still struggles to run the ball at times. Darius Anderson, Shewa Wanalu have been running it well. I think Robinson runs some. Give me the Frogs pulling away, 34-17. Morgantown, Kansas State at number 12, West Virginia. West Virginia, 16-point favorites. Mountaineers game got canceled due to Hurricane Florence against North Carolina State, which is kind of a good, kind of a bad one. You dodge a tricky opponent, but two, you don't really get tested before Big 12 play. They took care of Tennessee in week one, Youngstown State in week two. Still unsure who Kansas State is. They looked poor the first couple of weeks, snuck by South Dakota before getting drubbed by Mississippi State at home. They bounced back against UTSA this week. West Virginia, different animal. This might be the best team they've played so far. West Virginia getting 16 at home. This is tricky because I think this is the type of game where Bill Snyder could go up there and they play a solid game and keep this game close. But I think West Virginia's got too much firepower. I think they cover the 16. Will Greer continues to build on a strong start. Give me the Mountaineers covering the 16-point spread. Waco, Texas. Who would have thought this one would be interesting? Kansas has won 2 games in a row. That deserves a clap, right? Baylor, 2-1. They just fell to Duke. Kansas with that big win, 55-14 over Rutgers. Baylor just 8-point favorites in this one. They've got more talent than just to win by 8, right? I know Kansas has played better. Rutgers might be the worst team in the country. For sure in Power 5. I mean, you lose to Kansas by 41 points, you are the worst Power 5 team in college football. Probably the worst team, period. Nicholls State wish they could play Rutgers, all right? I think Baylor covers the 8 here. They didn't play very well against Duke on Saturday, but Duke might be one of the better teams in the ACC. Which is a bad conference, as I previously mentioned, but they might be one of the better ones. Charlie Brewer, I think he gets enough things going through the air. I think Baylor finds a way to win this game by 14 or 17, kind of similar to Texas TCU score. I'll take Baylor. I'll go 31 to 16. I do think Kansas is playing better and with some confidence I haven't seen in a long time. 31 to 16, though, Baylor gets this thing done. Let's go to Norman, number 5, Oklahoma, playing host to Army. Sooners, 31-point favorites in this one. I hate when spreads are this big because Army's not a bad football team. They're 2-1 on the year. They went to a bowl game last year, beat Navy for the first time in a while last year. They're a quality team. Their only loss is to Duke. They beat Hawaii last team, and Hawaii's been impressive early on in the season. 31 points, man. OU struggled a little bit against the run last week against David Montgomery. Army runs that triple option. You know what? I'm going to take Army to cover. Oklahoma's going to win this game pretty easily, I think. But I could see Army sneaking this thing under 30 points. You know, something like 45-20, 45-17 Oklahoma wins. I think 31's too big. Give me Army in this game to cover. Last game in the Big 12, Texas Tech at number 15, Oklahoma State. Like I said earlier, Oklahoma State might be a lot better than we think, certainly better than I thought. Oklahoma State getting 14. I think they cover at home. I know Tech looked pretty good offensively last week. I like what I saw from Alan Bowman. He's much improved from that week one game against Ole Miss. Tech can't stop anybody, though. They were supposed to take another step this year defensively. I haven't seen it so far. Gave up 49 against Houston last week. They'll score some points in this game, but Oklahoma State's bound to put up 50-plus on them. Justice Hill's going to run all over the place. I like what I've seen from Taylor Cornelius. Give me Oklahoma State by over two touchdowns, probably 17-20. I'll go 52-31. 52-31, Oklahoma State takes down Texas Tech. Let's go nationally. couple of SEC matchups in Tuscaloosa. Number one, Alabama, hosting number 22, Texas A&M. A&M, as we know, took Clemson to the wire a couple of weeks ago. Alabama, 26-point favorites in this one. 26. Is that a lack of respect for Jimbo Fisher's group in A&M, or is that just Alabama is that much better than everybody else? Because I saw A&M challenge Clemson. Now, it shouldn't have been that close, but hey, the result's the result. 2 points is 2 points. Man, I know it's in Tuscaloosa, but goodness. Give me Alabama, though, man. Tua continues to light this thing up. They're good defensively. It's in Tuscaloosa. I think A&M will challenge for a quarter or two, but it's hard to pick against what Alabama's doing right now. Until someone does it, I'm not going to pick against them. Give me Alabama 42-10 over Texas A&M. This one's interesting, under the radar game. Kentucky hosting number 14 Mississippi State. Rebels getting, or not Rebels, the Bulldogs, 10-point favorites in this one. Man, I could see this going either way. Kentucky finally snapped that streak against Florida a couple of weeks ago. They're 3-0. Mississippi State been impressive early on. Had a nice one over K-State a couple of weeks ago. They're 3-0. 10 points. I'll take Mississippi State to cover. Nick Fitzgerald, I like the quarterback. He's got some more skill around him than they've had in a while. Mississippi State's defensive line is very good. They manhandled Kansas State and that offensive line. I'll take Mississippi State, but it won't be by a ton. I think it'll be something like 31-20, 31-17. Kentucky certainly will compete in this game. Give me Mississippi State, though. They'll cover in this one. They'll cover the 10. Number 7, Stanford at number 20, Oregon. I mentioned it earlier. College game day is there. Stanford, 1.5-point favorites. This is basically a pick'em game. Autzen Stadium, this is bound to be the craziest game they've had there in at least 3 years since Vernon Adams was there. Mario Cristobal doing a nice job early on in his first year as a head coach as he's trying to build this thing back up. Oregon's got a good quarterback that no one's ever heard of, Justin Herbert. He's pretty good. This is a tough game to pick, man, because I think Stanford is the more solid team. They've got Bryce Love, Costello the quarterback. He doesn't turn it over a lot. They're good defensively. Oregon's a bit of an unknown. They haven't really played anyone yet, but maybe they rise to the occasion. You know, Herbert's a good quarterback. They'll definitely have the quarterback advantage in this game. I'm still going to take Stanford, though. I think they're steadier. Only 1.5-point favorites. I think that's a little bit low against an Oregon team that's a bit unproven. I'll take Stanford. I think Oregon will be entertaining. Give me the Cardinal, though. They win this game. Lower scoring than people think. I'll say 24-13. Stanford gets this thing done. Over to the Big Ten. The fraud of all frauds, number 18, Wisconsin. They fell to BYU last week. They're 3-point favorites against the Iowa Hawkeyes on the road. I think Iowa's going to win this game. Straight up. Not just cover the 3. I kind of thought so even before BYU beat Wisconsin. I just don't trust Hornibrook. Iowa's not super talented, but they're talented enough where if you make Hornibrook beat you, you're going to be in good hands. I'm just telling you right now. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Wisconsin may bounce back and run all over Iowa. Jonathan Taylor could go crazy. But that's a night game at Kinnick Stadium. They usually beat a quality team or two at home each year. Give me the Hawkeyes. I think Nate Stanley makes enough plays with his arm. I think Iowa wins this game in a low-scoring affair. Last game, Arizona State at number 10, Washington. Huskies, 17-point favorites. The Herm train fell back to earth a little bit last week. They fell 28-21 against San Diego State. I still think he's doing good things there. They've got the win over Michigan State. 17's a big number, but I picked against Washington last week against Utah, and they covered. Won't do it again. I think the Huskies take care of business, get a pretty impressive win by 3 touchdowns over ASU. So rapid-fire picks real quick. TCU over Texas. West Virginia covers. They beat Kansas State by more than 16. Baylor beats Kansas by more than 8. Oklahoma wins but does not cover the 31 against Army. Oklahoma State covers the 14 and beats Texas Tech. A&M, they lose to Alabama by more than 26. I know it's crazy. Give me the Crimson Tide, though. Mississippi State wins by more than 10 over Kentucky. Stanford beats Oregon. Iowa beats Wisconsin. And Washington, despite being 17-point favorites, they take care of Arizona State. So that's going to wrap things up on Episode 9 of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. We'll be back next week to recap Week 4, look ahead to Week 5, and once again, make our weekly picks. Also, as we always do each week when we sign off, you'll see it a lot on Saturdays, you'll see it on Sundays in the NFL. If you're ever in doubt, always go deep.